Mike Christensen from The Breakdown with Johnny Mallory and Coach Mike Christensen on ESPN Boise. Mike, how you doing?
Good, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. It's a pleasure to have you on our airwaves. Man, I'm looking through your bio, Coach, and, man, there are so many talking points. Let me start off with the first one. Portland State, you start your career there. My good friend Jake Caressa, his little brother is starting right now, Alex Caressa for Portland State. Huge win. Biggest upset as far as point spread, I believe, or one of the biggest in the history of college football, like a 30-point spread. They defeat Wazoo. Were you watching that game? Have you gone back and taken a look at that game?
I have, actually. I did. I try to TiVo on or record as many of those games as I can. And I did. I watched my Vikings beat up the Cougs. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I know Mike Leach did not think it was impressive, the Pirate with BYU ties. But a former BYU – actually, Alex was a BYU wide receiver and scout team quarterback, went on a mission, came home, went to Snow, and then transferred up to Portland State. I hope he has many more surprise victories like that. My next question for you is this. So one of my best friends in high school is Richie Incognito, kind of a crazy guy. Trust me, he wasn't as crazy in high school as he was in Nebraska. You were there, I believe, for from 2004 to 2006. Did you get to know Richie at all?
Yeah. In fact, we're the ones that had to show Richie the door, actually.
I know.
When we got to Nebraska, Richie was already on double secret probation, so he had a short leash.
Dude, the funny thing is, I went on a trip with him. I'd just gotten home from my Mormon mission, right? And we took a trip to California with another. So, you know, he was surrounded by a bunch of good old Mormon boys. So when he'd hang out with the Mormon boys, he was fine. And then he had kind of his crazy friends as well. But anyways, I get back from my mission. We go to Southern California. And that is during the transition when you and Coach Callahan came into Lincoln. And I can't tell you, he was so excited for it. Like, he was just elated, man. He's signing autographs at random truck stops that we people coming up to Richie. Excuse me, are you Richie Incognito? I mean, I didn't realize just how pervasive the Cornhusker brand was. But he was super excited. And I didn't know about the double probation. But unfortunately, Richie has had his ups and downs. But and he left Lincoln on maybe not the best of terms. But what do you think about what he's going to do with Buffalo this year?
Well, you know, first I'll say this. Richie's one of those guys. He's a rare, special talent. He's an exceptional football player. The problem with Richie is sometimes he gets in his own way most of the time. So that's really the problem. But, you know, listen, I'm glad he got another chance. I wouldn't say second chance because he's had multiple second chances. But I hope he does it right this time. He goes into Buffalo. I know he's playing for Greg Roman now in that offense, and Greg's pretty good at keeping tabs on those guys and kind of keeping their heads on straight. But I would think that Richie by now has at least learned his lesson, and will hopefully he'll just focus on football and not let those other things distract him, because he is an exceptional talent.
Michael, Mike Christensen, Coach Michael Christensen, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960, coached at the collegiate level, coached at the NFL level, and now has a radio show with ESPN Boise.
And speaking of
How about that?
Well, let's talk about the team that you cover locally there, and that's Boise State. Obviously, a big matchup this weekend in Provo. You know, we've heard that the coaches are taking a much more laid back, laid back is not the right word, but not going to overreact type attitude towards the first game. Fans, not so much. How did you view the win over Washington, and where do you think the Boise State Broncos need to make the biggest improvement heading into Provo this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty funny. It's like deja vu this year, because this is the same thing we went through last year with Grant Hendrick, the quarterback, when they went and played Ole Miss. Everybody wanted to bench Grant Hendrick and go with Ryan Finley. Now everybody wants to bench Ryan Finley and go with the young Brett Rippon, the true freshman out of Washington. And so it just kind of seems like we're in the same situation. And, you know, I think the expectations here at Boise are pretty high. And if you're not beating teams, and I recognize this because I was at Nebraska, right? And if you didn't beat everybody by 30 points, you weren't very good. So right now I think the expectations for Boise and what they expected you know, especially when you go in as a 13-point favorite against Washington, I think the Boise fans, expected a lot more, especially from the offense. From our perspective, from my perspective as a coach, just looking at the game, I thought what really happened with Boise is they did a really nice job running the football in the first half. In the second half, Washington made adjustments. Coach Chris Peterson, those guys, and Pete Kwiatkowski, the defensive coordinator, did an excellent job of making the adjustment, bringing 7-8 guys into the box and stopping the run, and really forced Boise State to get in these long passing yardage situations that I just don't think they were ready for. They tried to run the ball on first down. They tried to run the ball on second down, and all of a sudden it's 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8. And there's just so many plays that you can have on a 3rd and long situation that you can go to. And I just don't know that they had enough plays in their repertoire, at least on 3rd and long, to make up some of those down and distance. So they've got to do a better job on early downs, especially 1st and 2nd. They definitely have to, pick up some yards either in the run game or start throwing the football on 1st down.
Coach, I don't know if you were able to watch the BYU-Nebraska game, but the screen game was prevalent, and it was successful versus BYU. Do you think Boise State will implement some of the screen game, quick screen game, tunnel screens, maybe some slip screens into their repertoire this week?
Well, it's already in their offense. You're going to see a lot of bubble screens. You're going to see some of those middle screens. You're going to see some of those things that they run. And I did. I caught the second half of the game. By the time we got home from Boise State, I was able to at least get enough sleep where I could wake up Saturday morning. But those Friday night games are killers, man. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing so late into the evening. But I did catch most of that BYU-Nebraska game and was pretty impressed with just BYU as a whole and just where that program is at and where Bronco Mendenhall and that staff has done just this year. And against Nebraska, I mean, you're talking about a team that hasn't lost its opener since, 1985 almost 30 years. And to go in there and beat them the way they did with, Tanner Magnum is the backup quarterback coming in, really just a nice job, a two-minute execution and getting that ball off. I thought it was pretty exceptional by BYU. But I'll tell you.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Taysom Hill, that loss, obviously that's big for BYU. But I think for Boise State, the bigger loss and probably the better loss for them, for you guys, is Tuiloma, the defensive lineman, because he's a force to be reckoned with. And, Boise State not having to face him, I think that's to their advantage.
Staying with the defensive line, Robert and I, BYU's offensive coordinator, said that he thought Boise State's front seven was just as good as Nebraska's. And you one of the major storylines is that Tanner Mangum is getting his first start. What do you anticipate from the Bronco front seven against a freshman player making his first start?
Well, that's the strength of Boise State, no question about it. You look at their defensive line, their front seven, they're just so deep at all those positions at both the defensive line and the linebacker spot. They've got guys that would probably be starting on any other team in the Mountain West Conference sitting at the second string position. So, that's their strength of that defense, without question. I really think that, Coach Marcel Yates and those guys didn't bring a lot of pressure against Washington. I really think that that's something you might see a little bit differently. They're going to put a little pressure on the redshirt freshman in Mangum, and because they know what he can do. Now, this staff is familiar with him because he's from Eagle High School right here in that Boise area. So they know all about Tanner, and I think that they'll have some things dialed up for him, for sure.
Coach Michael Christensen on with us here at Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Has his own show in Boise, going back home, returning home after a long coaching career at the collegiate and NFL level. Jay Norville just got promoted. Jay was the offensive coordinator versus my BYU teams in 2007. Got us at the Rose Bowl. We got him at the Las Vegas Bowl, and he actually game planned. Like he tried to pick on me that entire Vegas Bowl, man. He just kept on trying to pick on me. He came up. Let me tell you a story. So I had 3 pass breakups in that game. They kept on trying to target me on some vertical routes, some play action, and then also in goal line. I was a smaller white cornerback, one of the only white cornerbacks probably to play in college football that year. But he came up to me after the game. We blocked the field goal, and he ran to me and gave me a hug. Jay Norville gave me a hug, and he said, "Hell of a game. Hell of a game." And I was, man, that was really nice. He didn't have to do that. I wanted you to speak about Jay Norville. Tell me more about him, because I really don't know much about him apart from his bio and the fact that he ran up to me and gave me a hug and said, "Hell of a game."
Well, I'll tell you what, when you coach for as long as I have, you know, 25 years, both college and pro level, you meet a lot of guys, right? And Jay's one of those guys where he's just a phenomenal football coach. He's a better person than he's even a coach, but he's a really good football coach, and he cares about the players in the game, and it doesn't really matter who you play for. He cares about the guys that care about the game, and Jay's one of those guys that I'm so happy for him right now. I talked to him late last night after the whole thing went down, and he's really excited, and I'm really excited for him. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was at Oklahoma with Stoops mm-hmm. and those guys, was the co-offensive coordinator there, and you know, it just really kind of got – it was one of those situations where he got run out of town because Stoops had to make some changes. People weren't happy, and it wasn't that he wasn't doing a good job, but just Stoops had to make changes. And so he gets a job at Texas as a wide receiver coach, and a couple – you know, a week into it, now he's the offensive coordinator. And, you know, I know Sean Watson too, and I feel bad for Sean, but Jay's just one of those – he's a phenomenal person, and I couldn't be happy for him. He's one of my best friends in the business and in life, and just a true, true – a coach. He's had a couple opportunities to be a head coach, and I think he's decided that from his perspective, from his family's perspective, that he'd rather just coach and coach players rather than coach the game. He'd rather be around the players a lot more than most head coaches get to be. But yeah, just a phenomenal guy.
Coach, you also had the opportunity to be with Harbaugh and his staff with the 49ers. You were the assistant running back coach and also director of football technology. How long will it take for Harbaugh to turn that program around? Do you think they go bowling this year?
Yeah, it'll take him about half a year.
That's it, huh?
I knew this question was coming, but give him half a year. I mean, but by the time you watch Michigan open up against Utah, and by the time they get to the midway point of the season, you're going to see two different football teams. Jim's just an expert at finding ways to motivate players, finding ways to get things out of guys that you would never expect to get. And again, this guy wins wherever he's at. And I had the privilege of working with him both. I started out working with him at the University at Oakland, and then I worked with him at the University of San Diego when he was the head coach there for a number of years. And then obviously he took me with him to San Francisco, but. I'd work with that guy anywhere. It doesn't matter where he went, and he motivates people. He cares about the players, and he's just a phenomenal guy. Now, he's a different cat. Don't get me wrong. He's a different kind of guy, but he's just a phenomenal coach. And I'll bet you by the midpoint of the season, you're going to look at this Michigan team and go, "Holy smokes, they got a chance to be pretty good."
What do you think BYU will see in that fourth week then? Do you think Rudock by that time kind of settles down, doesn't make as many mistakes? He'll be at home at the big house, won't be as loud. He'll be able to make his checks, make his reads, nice, calm, cool, collected perhaps. What do you think BYU sees from Harbaugh and Rudock?
Well, you guys know as well as I do, when you're playing at home, that makes everything better, right? So that'd be the first thing. He'll be able to play there in the big house, and I just see continued improvement through him, you know, week in and week out. Tim Drevno's the offensive coordinator, and I guarantee you what Tim's really good at and what Jim's really good at, especially with quarterbacks, is trying to put them in the best possible situations and not put them in situations where they can't succeed, you know, not make the task so impossible that it's just an uphill climb. And so they'll have a game plan for him. They'll have something ready for BYU that fits right in his wheelhouse, and something that he can do to continue to get and be successful week in and week out.
Coach, before we let you go, I guess I would ask you, how do you think this game on Saturday plays out? I mean, obviously these two teams, the last 2 years have, each team has had a blowout victory. What do you think happens in Provo on Saturday?
Well, you guys got a coin? We can flip a coin right now if you want. I keep going back and forth on this, guys. I mean, honestly, I look at this. I watched the BYU-Nebraska game again last night, looked at it a little bit, watched the Boise State game yesterday as well, and looked at that as detailed as I could. And, gosh, there's just so much room for improvement for Boise State. You know, defensively, they played an excellent game against Washington. really did some phenomenal things. BYU, same thing. The Taysom Hill thing, that's a big X factor. You're talking about he had 340-something yards throwing the football. You take that out of the game plan, and you got to come up with it somehow, and that's a lot of pressure to put on the quarterback. But then on the same token, I look at that defense, and I just look at the experience that that team has, and then I look at the inexperience on offense that Boise State has, and, man, I could flip a coin right now.
Coach, we appreciate you hopping on with this phenomenal interview. Can't wait to hop on with you guys tomorrow and maybe delve into some intricacies of BYU and hopefully enlighten. I will try to enlighten your listeners about the struggles and maybe some of the strengths and weaknesses of BYU.
Absolutely, guys. Really appreciate it, man. Good conversation.